time to time, especially when we are down in French Guiana in South America. You probably also know, in recent years, I usually go down there twice a year, each time for about 2.5 to 3 months. Last summer, we were there for 6 months. I went back home for a little while. I came home just before Christmas, and Lord willing, I go again at the end of this month. Keep on praying for the work in French Guiana. It's, the time's a little bit tough going, and yet we're always glad we have, every year we have a number of conversions, and the Lord is blessing. Since I go back, March 27, pray again for the work in French Guiana. And at the same time, pray for my family, stay, my wife and the children stay here. So we are a little bit two-sided in South East. In my early years at Greenwood Hills, it goes back to 52, 53, I used to stay with the Landises, Mr. and Mrs. Landis over at the Landis house. And if you have known the Landises, they were sort of bird watchers. All throughout the windows, you could see watch, and they have feeding stations, and Mrs. Landis could give you all the names of the birds. If she didn't know the names, she would quickly go to her book and look it up. I thought this morning, we're going to watch the birds together a little bit. Do you mind? The first verse we're going to read together is in the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, and in the 8th chapter, just one verse. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle, and the crane, and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the law of the Lord. In other words, the birds know and the people don't know. So this past week, suddenly heard some squawking up high in the air, and I looked up, and of course there was a big formation of Canada geese flying through. Very graceful, very imposing. Watch the birds. There they came. They're also announcing spring. Spring is soon going to be here. You know, God's Word has quite a number of comparisons and examples which are taken from the practical life to help us to understand God's message. In French Guiana, when we are speaking with our people, which we say the majority of them are rather simple people, we do like to take illustration from the daily life, the practical life, illustrations from things which they know, and then come and try to do these things and do these illustrations to teach them things which God would like us to know. In our verse here, we learn something from the life of the birds. They know their appointed time. We are speaking about migrating birds. Birds which pass a part of the year here in the northern countries in the summer months, and then in the fall, before it gets cold, they go down south to the warmer countries, just like so many people here at Greenwood Hills too, huh? No birds of Greenwood Hills, sort of my rain. These birds know, and they go at the right time. They go before it gets cold, and they come back home after the real cold is over. Another verse in Matthew's Gospel, if you'd like to turn to it, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 26. And that's this verse. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? If the Lord takes care of the birds, he certainly will take care of us. Reading God's Word, we can get 2 or 3 sparrows for a nickel, for even less for a penny, and yet God knows exactly how many there are. He takes care of them. He feeds them. Now, some illustrations about these migrating birds, be it the Canada geese, be it the swallows or some of the robins, some of the other birds which we see here in the summer and which are gone. Of course, we have the starlings here, they stay all year here, but interesting to know in Europe they don't stay all year. They only come in the summer, and in the winter months they go south too. I guess the American starlings must be a tougher race. But they leave at the right time to escape the harshness of the winter. These birds, they are not afraid to undertake a long journey, a long trip, and can be thousands of miles. They are not afraid of it. They go. Sometimes we are afraid to do something for the Lord. Can't go to the meetings. It's too far. Huh? Can't come to the meetings. They're praying. And then we sing in the meeting, of course, send the showers of blessings. But these girls, they're not afraid to undertake a long journey. They don't depend on their own nest. You know, when these birds come, and soon, before too long, we're going to see some of our birds. They're gathering little sticks, and they're gathering grass and straw and hay, and they're building their little nest in which they're going to raise their little family. And then maybe in the fall, they could say, well, we have such a nice little nest here. It has been so comfortable. Why aren't we just going to stay here? No, they don't depend on their warm nest. They have to go. They know it. Sometimes we as humans, we are not so urged to go and do what the Lord tells us to do. Back in the book of Genesis, in chapter 19, we have the story of Lot. Lot, who had chosen to live in the cities of plains in Sodom. And it was a wicked city. And yet he was called Lot the Righteous. And we also know that Abraham had been praying for him. And the angels of the Lord came to Lot and tell him, watch out, it's time to get out. Warn your family. Tell them to get out, because we are going to destroy the city. And then we read there, Lot, while he lingered. He had heard the warning of the angels who had come to him, but while he lingered, should we really go? Should we leave all the comfort we have here? And then we read, while he lingered, they took him by the hand and pulled him out. He and his wife, and their two daughters, and he led them out, and afterwards they came to destruction. The birds know the exact time when it's time to leave, and we have to be very, very careful. We have to know too, today is the day of salvation. Today, when we hear the voice of the Lord, God's word, and the invitation to be saved, we better do accept and follow the way of the Lord, because tomorrow it might be too late. It might be too late. We never know when death comes. We just heard Grace Blair passed away early this morning. Last Sunday, she was still out in the meeting, as far as I understand. I saw her about a month ago down in Washington there, and she was still, we knew she was getting weak, she was going down, but nobody really expected it would be so sudden. My friend Fiona, we do quite a number of funerals for people who passed away, and one thing that's been important for us to notice, coffins come in all sizes. There's some big ones, and there's some small ones for younger ones, and even for little babies. We never know. Today is the day of salvation. Today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The birds, they know the time. It's time to leave. And in the summer, when it would get too hot in the countries where they are, and it gets nice and agreeable up here, they do come back up here. They know the time, and they observe the time, and they follow it. And we quite often, we do resemble Lot. Yes, we have heard the warning, but let's just wait around a little bit and see. And isn't it just as if the Lord would like to take your hand to say, no, let's wait around a minute. Now it's time to go. If you wait, destruction might come. Huh? And also, these migrating birds, they are not diverted from their purpose by watching other birds. You know, there are other birds around here which are staying all year. Huh? Summer and winter, you have the sparrows around. Huh? And the crows, and some other birds. Somewhere in winter, everyone. Now, if these migrating birds would watch the other birds and say, when this one is going to go, And this one is going to go, then I'm going to go too. Maybe so many people are just watching and say, yes, when my husband is going to accept the Lord, I'm going to come too. When my wife is going to accept the Lord, I'm going to come too. Maybe when my parents are going to accept the Lord, I'm going to come too. The Lord didn't tell you to watch here or to watch there. No, the Lord says, it's time to go. Today is the day of salvation. Today, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Time to go. Don't look here or there. Maybe you might do the wrong thing. Moses at one time, he looked here and he looked there. Instead of looking up, listening to the Lord, and you know, he had to become a murderer and he had to run away for his life. And God had to put him back in school again for 40 years. 40 years. Sometimes we're watching the crowds. Just a little while ago, we have read together in Luke's Gospel, the story of Zacchaeus. The story which I assume all of us know quite well. And it is still good for us to know it again and again. Zacchaeus had a desire to see the Lord when the Lord came to what city was he in? Okay, Jericho. I'm just looking at the other way. Jericho, yes. The Lord came to Jericho and Zacchaeus was very anxious to see this man too. And Zacchaeus was a little fellow. And he came out of his customs office there, his tax collector's office, and he went out and he wants to see the Lord too. But what did he find? Along the street there was a big crowd already, and he couldn't get to him. He couldn't see the Lord, even if he was standing on his tip of his toes. He couldn't see him. Oh, the crowd is here. The crowd is an obstacle to him. And he could have easily have given up. Huh? What is a crowd that can? You follow the crowd instead of following the Lord. So do you know Zacchaeus has a little bit more input and says, alright, if they're all here, I run down the street a little bit there. Down there is a nice little sycamore tree which I can climb very easy. And he climbed up and he settled himself very nicely in the branches there. And just waiting and watching. Say, now he's going to come and let it off through here. I will be able to survey the whole situation and I can see him. I probably can even hear what he talks to the people. That's just nice. And then when the Lord Jesus came down there, look, Jesus just happened to stand and talk to the people, but not only talk to the people, the Lord also looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come on down quickly. He knew him by his name, and he called him down. Zacchaeus, come down, because today you have to come to your house. Oh, you have to. You know me? And Zacchaeus came down, and I don't think it took him as long to come down as it took him to climb up the tree. Probably down there, he was washing himself up a little bit from all the dust he had collected from the tree while he was sitting up there. And he said, come on, Lord, my dear. If Zacchaeus would have watched the crowd, if Zacchaeus would have watched the other people, he probably would have missed the Lord. Be careful, if we watch the others and wait for them, we might miss the blessing which the Lord has ready for us. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, we're not going to turn to it. There's another story. Jairus had come to the Lord and asked him to come on to his home because his third daughter, a young girl, was dying. And the Lord said, yes, we're going, you're coming. And they came along and they walked and talked. There was always a big crowd along the Lord. And then, while he was going, another woman came that said, that's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, by the way, around verse 40. There, another woman who had a need of the Lord, she came, she has been suffering for many years. She said, nobody could help me, no doctor could help me. Now, if anybody can help me, it's only Jesus Christ, and I'm going to him. But I can't confront him. There are too many people around him. If only I can get my way in there and touch his hem from the back, I shall be healed. And she came. And she probably used her elbows to get in there. And she reached through and finally she could touch the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ and she knew she was healed. But the Lord also knew that some strength had gone out from him. And he asked the question, who touched me? Who touched me? And finally, of course, she was revealed. I came because of this. Now, if this woman would have said, oh, I want to go to him, but the crowd is there and I'm afraid of the crowd, she probably never have been healed. If you, or I, or anybody here this morning, Did you say, I would like to be saved, but there are too many people around who know me too well? No, I can't do it today. Maybe too late then. The migrating birds, they know the time when it's time to go. And we so often we look here and we look there, we watch the crowd, we watch the other people, we wait for them, and we might miss the day of salvation. Just because the Lord gives you an invitation to be saved today, there is no guarantee he's going to give you another one tomorrow. Tomorrow might never come. Tomorrow might never come. Then these migrating birds, they don't actually know the directions or destinations, but they travel according to the instinct which the Lord has given them, not according to their own ideas. And since they travel quite far, they have to travel very exactly in the right direction. Huh? If they go too far to the right, they might miss the point where they're supposed to go. If they go too far to the left, they might miss them too. Some of them going down to South America, they have to stop and feed and sort them and sort them islands to rest a while and to feed themselves. And if they would be just 1 degree off course, they would miss the island. But the Lord leads them very, very nice. And you think in these birds, little birds, not very big. And they have all their rudders and they have all their machinery in their heads that are very well directed. We men want to do it. We have the big machines. We have big aeroplanes and they are good support. They call for their radars and for all the installations. And they have to have ground installations too. But the Lord leads them and they go. And since these birds are really following the directions of the Lord, they're examples to us. They're examples to us in obedience to God's call and to God's will. In the book of Genesis, we have this, in chapter 22, we have the story of Abraham. Abraham, who had been waiting for many, many, many years to have a son by Sarah. And finally, God gave them a son. The Lord has blessed him, Isaac. This little fellow grew up. A little baby. Then a little boy. And then a young man. And I'm sure Abraham enjoyed him very much. He's probably in a teenager now, maybe 16, 17 years old. And suddenly God tells him, Abraham, now take your son, Isaac. Your only one, the one whom thou lovest, take him and go out there to a mountain which I will show you. And then when you're up there, build an altar and offer him up for a burnt offering. What? Yes, that's what I asked of you, Abraham. And we don't hear any questioning, we don't read of any questioning in God's word. And Abraham went and he obeyed. I think you know the outcome of the story. He obeyed. He built the altar. On the way up, yes, Isaac asked him, Father, didn't we forget something? They probably used to go and burn offerings to God from time to time. Didn't we forget something? We have the fire. We have the knife. This was the time when they didn't have any matches yet. They had to carry the fire along. They had the fire and the knife and they had the wood. But usually they took a lamb along. Where's the lamb? Well, God will provide. And then they walked on together. And you know, finally, Isaac was given back to him and there was a ram behind and they could go on with their burnt offering. But Abraham was an example of obedience to us. Friends, brothers and sisters, we have to obey the Lord if you want to be blessed. If you want to see blessing and if you want to become a blessing to many others too. The migrating birds, they're obeying the directions of the Lord, and that's why they arrive at their destinations, and that's why they come again, generally to the same place again, and live on. If we want to be blessed, we have to follow through, huh? So Abraham and the birds are an example of obedience to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that's what we are by nature. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man, the unsaved, the unregenerated man, or woman. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, the unsaved person, does not want to be led of the Lord. And sometimes, even as Christians, sometimes we revolt against the leading of the Lord. And if we are in the natural state, in the unsaved state, if there should be someone says here this morning, the Lord is asking you to change. Come, believe in me and trust in me. I died for you on the cross of Calvary that you can be forgiven. Huh? The natural man doesn't want to be led, but when we trust in the Lord, then we are well guided. If we trust in him, not only in small, in big things, but also in small things. And you know, in our lives, there are too many big things that happen. Eh? Our days are set together with so many, many small things. And in all these small things, we have to be led of the Lord. In John's Gospel, let's turn to chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. There was a little conversation between the Lord and the disciples. John, chapter 14. Verse 4 and 5. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. You know where I'm going and you know how to get there. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we know it? Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to go to God, you have to go to Jesus Christ. He is the middle man. He is the middle one between, the mediator between God and man. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way for salvation. We can't buy our salvation. We can't earn our salvation. We just have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done everything. All we have to do is to accept and then to praise him and to thank him. Now, I don't know if you have watched the geese these days, or when they come again these next few days and weeks, huh? Watch. Have you ever seen, or the robins will be in very shortly too. Somebody in Harrisburg has said they have already seen one last week, I don't know. You have seen it too, right? Yep. When they came in, did they have a big knapsack? Our daughter, just preparing, she's going out to Nyankunde and saw her Zaire next week. We go out there for a short term for about 2.5 months in the mission station in Nyankunde. And I seen her packing last night. In fact, I carried her suitcase down the steps this morning. Well loaded. And when we travel, and also when I go back to French Guiana, we always have excess packages. Especially when my wife comes along. You always have excess baggage. You know, in different airlines, you can have different amounts of weight to carry along, huh? Generally, at one time I flew from French Guiana into Brazil in the Brazilian Air Force plane. And we could take along as much weight as we wanted. And then we have some Air France flights from French Guiana to France, or from France to French Guiana. Because this is an internal flight, we are allowed 66 pounds of baggage free. Then when we are on an international flight, we have 44 pounds, or here in the States, they say you can take along 2 suitcases. They don't even weigh them. We have a little local airline in French Guiana, and there you're allowed 11 pounds free baggage. Not very much. 11 pounds. How much are you putting there? If you go in the bush for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But then these migrating birds, they don't have any baggage allowance, do they? Because Reggie said when they arrived, he didn't see them with a knapsack. He didn't see them with any suitcases. No provision, huh? And yet God takes care of them. No provision, yet God takes care of them. The first which we read in the beginning, Matthew chapter 6, behold the fowls of the air, For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. God takes care of them, huh? And yet as they travel these long distances, for thousands of miles sometimes, and their way, they take time to rest and to feed themselves. I know they can catch a few mosquitoes while they fly, but sometimes they come down to the earth to rest. On their trip, they take time to rest and to nourish. Huh? But all along, they're advancing towards their destination. Now, you and I, sometimes you think, oh, I've been to the church on Sunday morning. That's just enough for the whole week. I have read a few verses, maybe a whole chapter there. And I can just live on this till next Sunday, or maybe I can live on this from Christmas till Easter. Or I can live on this from confirmation till I get married, and in the meantime I don't have to go to church. I don't have to read. I don't have to take time to read God's Word. Yes, you have to. And I would like to encourage you all, if you don't do it already, read your Bible every day. Again and again, read it. Try to read through the whole Bible. Read through the whole Bible. Somebody said, oh, I love the Bible. I love the Bible from cover to cover. And then he kissed the Bible and says, I even love the cover because it says Holy Bible on it. But one time we came home in furlough. I figured I didn't need my French Bible here in the States. I could just as well leave it out on the mission field there in the bookshelf. And he left it with a nice leather bound Bible. And then when we came back after our time of furlough here at home, I picked up the Bible, and what did I see? To my surprise, as I lifted up my Bible to the window, there were a number of very small little holes, very little ones, not bigger than the head of a needle, huh? Of a pin. Not bigger, just little holes. All through. What happened? The termites had gotten into my Bible. And they ate right through from cover to cover. Now, I don't know what they got out of it. But I am sure while they were eating through my Bible, they were nourished. They were nourished. And if you go from cover to cover in your Bible, you'll be nourished too. If you read one chapter a day, it takes you 5 years, huh? If you read 3.5 chapters a day, you get through the Bible in a year. Do it. We have a general knowledge within there. Some chapters are a little bit dry, yes? But you still can find another thing there. Precious things. Read your Bible. Now, people say, well, but even if I read it all, I can't remember. I can't even remember what they were speaking all last Sunday here in the meeting. It doesn't matter. Read it anyway, even if you can't remember it too well. I can't either. I have a very short memory. But do you remember what you had for dinner 2 weeks ago? You remember what you had for dinner 2 weeks ago? Well, remember, huh? But it nourished you anyway, didn't it? You were nourished anyway. Even if we can remember what we had last Thursday for supper, we still were nourished. And even if we cannot remember everything we read, but we still were nourished by it. These migrating birds, while they travel on, they take time to read. So we have to read and we have to pray day by day. It's so important. And for this I would like especially to say to our younger Christians, get into the habit to read the Bible every day. You cannot take a provision. You can't say, today I read 3 chapters and it's going to be enough for the whole week. No. These birds have to come down and eat from time to time. And we too, we have to come down and eat again and again, otherwise we're going to lose. We have time for it. Sometimes we speak of the tithe. Sometimes we speak of the 10%. And quite often we only apply this to our finances. You should give the Lord the tithe. You should give the Lord the 10%. By the way, I think this should be the minimum we give the Lord. We should give the Lord much more than this. He gave much more for us. But do we also give the Lord 10% of our time? Do we give it to Him? Do we give the Lord even 5% of our time? Do we give the Lord as much time as we use every day to eat our meals? If we figure it in this way, then we have time to read and we have time to pray. I think the Lord would like to have whatever amount of time too. We should give him the 10% of our time too. Eh? And we have to remember, we are Christians, and as Christians we are in this world. We are not of the world, but we are in the world. And because we are in the world, and the temptations and the problems around us are so big, it's so important that we read, that we are really soaked into God's Word. Soak in and retake it. In earlier years, when we crossed the Atlantic, we used to come by ship. Today, everybody travels by plane. Today, it's much cheaper by plane. But I went across the Atlantic several times with Queen Elizabeth and Queen Mary and the SS United States. And I was always very glad. No, the ship was in the ocean, but the ocean was not in the ship, because I was not a good swimmer. The ship was in the ocean at its place, but I was glad the ocean was not in the ship. And we as Christians, we are in the world, but we have to be very, very careful that the world is not within us. And the best way to keep the world out of our life is to keep the Word of God in our life. God takes wonderful care of these birds and their journeys, and He will take wonderful care of us too if we trust in Him and obey Him. And then when you see these birds here, you're going to see now the geese, the robin, the swallows, and when they're here, they're going to build their little nest again, as they do every summer, every spring. And then before too long, there's going to be a few little eggs in it. They're going to have little baby birds. And then these birds, they want to be feathered, first of all. Then they learn to fly, and they're all around. And what do these young little birds, what are you going to do in the fall? They have never made the trip. They don't know about it. How do they do it? Are they going to stay here? Or the parents going to say, oh, they're going south, so you can stay here. We have to go, you have never made the trip. No, these young birds, they're going to go too. Huh? In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, we read, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, hear the instruction of your fathers, and forsake not the law of the mother. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, and also in Colossians, we read, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. We encourage our children to listen to the parents and to obey. And the children are watching us and learning from us. And the young birds, they're also watching the old birds, and they follow the older ones. When the older ones are going, the younger ones go too. They don't say, we don't need these old people anymore, let them go. No, they follow. Huh? The young birds are watching and follow the older ones. And we as Christians who have claimed we have been saved, we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ many years ago. Some of us might be 50, 60 years, 40, 20, 30. Some of us perhaps are just newly saved. But we have to realize the little ones, the young ones, and the newly saved ones, they're watching us and they're observing us. And now if they're going to follow our example, is it going to be for their spiritual benefit and for their blessing? Or is it going to be a curse for them? We have to realize that we are watched by young people, by young Christians, by neighbors, and they're watching how we act and how we live, and they're probably going to do the same thing. Because the young birds are watching their parents in the fall, they leave at the right time, and in the spring they come again in the right time. And we have to realize too, huh? When people are watching us, are they well led? Or are they misled? It's very, very important. Now, if they watch us, and our actions and our reactions are not to the glory of God, perhaps we have an exhortation in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. The apostle here writes in verse 7, there will be so many things to say then, some of them are hard to utter, seeing you are so dull of hearing. And then it says in verse 12, Hebrews 5, verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is of age. But solid food belongeth to them that are full of age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. For the times we have been saved, do we really know God's word? Or do we still need the gospel again and again repeated the way of salvation? Then we should go on into the deeper doctrines of God's word. Then we should read it, understand it, and then live it out to the glory of God. Are we like these people whom the apostle writes here, you ought to be teachers by now, and yet we still have again and again just to explain the simple rudiments of God's word. You should be able to eat the solid food of God's word. And if we can read it and understand it and apply it in our lives, then we can be good examples to the ones who are growing up amongst us, the ones who come to know the Savior, to be beside us, that they will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ too. Verse is saying something like this, children drink milk and fight. Now that this might be normal for children to drink fight and brothers and sisters, to drink milk and brothers and sisters too have a fight together from time to time, but then when they grow up, they should outgrow this, shouldn't they? And we have to eat solid food of God's word, and we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to be blessed. Eh? We have to be able to overcome the worldless disputes of this world. Overcome them. No, it's just when our time is up. Have you learned something from the life of these migrating birds? Just to leave you, they leave the northern countries at the right time before the cold comes. You and I, if we want to go in the sight of the Lord, we have to leave the world, we have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to forsake sin and try to live with the help of God, to live to His glory. We have to obey and we have to follow the directions which God gives us in God's word. Like the birds, follow the directing of the Lord. Like Abraham followed, like Joseph followed, and they were all being blessed of the Lord. If we do it, if we obey, there shall be blessing. We have to remember we cannot take any provision alone. Day by day we have to feed on God's word. When we read it, He speaks to us, and then when we pray, we can speak to Him and answer Him and praise Him and thank Him and also bring forth our petitions to Him. No provision alone can be taken alone. And brothers and sisters, don't forget, we are always being watched. Watched by the little ones, by our own children, by neighbors. Watched by our neighbors who live around us. Watched by the people we work with. And if we claim and testify to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, they would like to see the Christian life in our lives. If we don't live what we talk about, then our testimony has not much worth. And if we really want to live the glory of God, let's feed in God's word. Not only just the simple gospel, but the deeper doctrines of God's word. For this we have to take time to read, to study, to meditate, and so we can grow in the grace of the Lord and we can become better and more useful Christians. May the Lord help us in this. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, our Father, we do again thank and praise Thee for Your loving kindness. We thank You for Your precious word which Thou hast given us, which Thou hast preserved for us and kept for us. We thank You, our God, that we do have the freedom and the liberty in this country to read it, to study it, to come together and to talk about the word, to encourage one another while we're studying God's word, that we all together can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, our Father, we thank You that we can and are still free to preach God's word, so that others can hear it too, that others shall be saved and become partakers of the blessings of God. And Lord, if there should be some amongst us this morning who have never yet trusted in the Lord, just help them that they have to make this first step of faith, that they will accept Him and then go on. And for the ones of us who have been Christians for some time, that we really should become like these who have learned to eat the solid food. That we are become like these who are able to understand and then to teach others and tell others. But above all, our God, help us to remember that we are being watched. That we shall be examples to the glory of God. And our God, as we go home now to our separate homes, respected home. Lord, again, give us quiet, peaceful afternoon. Let us think about the things we have learned and then bring us together again this evening that we can see more of the precious things of thy God. Now, brothers who have learned and heard that these termites have gone right through the Bible from cover to cover, help us that we too shall become real bookworms of the good book of thy word. We do thank thee and we do praise thee for all your kindness, for your blessing, for your care. We do worship thee, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.